The title of the message that we've been working on is Never Leave Home Without It, and this is part four of that. And just the way the services have been working out, just haven't been able to throw a whole lot of teaching out there. We're going to go a little further today. But this is based on that Jesus gave the command to his disciples, literally, to receive God's power. Luke chapter 24, just to lay the foundation, I gave y'all a lot of scripture over the last several weeks, but Luke 24:49, it says, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And I have people often will ask me, because they never heard a name of a church like Church of the Promise. And so they ask me, well, what is that about? Well, the Church of the Promise. Well, this is what it's about. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that we long for his presence. And we want him involved in everything we do. And so from the very beginning, the Lord, you know, just gave me that name as I was praying about, Lord, what do you want to name this church? And so that's what that's about. But he told us, as we've said, he told the disciples to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. I believe that same kind of thinking should also be our thinking, that we should not try to go and do anything that Jesus told us to do unless we've been endued with his power to do it. Because anything that we do in the flesh, if it's not led by the Spirit, when it's all said and done, and we stand before God, and he gathers up all of our stuff that we think is valuable, and all of our stuff that we've lived for, and all of the things that we have, you know, we thought we were succeeding with or whatever, and he's going to get one of the angels to grab a book of matches, I don't know, maybe a Motel 6 matches or something like that. I don't know if they even still give them out, but he's going to get them angels to grab a book of matches, and they're going to light it up, and they're going to throw that in that pile of stuff that we tried to bring with us. And everything that was not led by the Spirit is going to burn up. It will be no more. Only that which was led by the Spirit of God is going to survive that fire. All right? And for many folks, they're going to probably have to back up a little bit, because it's going to be one of them, like them big old bonfires, right? So again, I don't want to be guilty of trying to do something in my own strength and just because I put the name of God on it or the name of Jesus on it and claim that I'm doing it for him, I don't want to be guilty of doing something in my own strength based on natural things that God told me to do for his kingdom, and yet do it without the power of God. And so again, that's what this is really about. And that's why we entitled this message, Never Leave Home Without It. Because I want to tell you, God never intended for us to live without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Can I get a bigger amen? And you know what? When you're in a church service, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know you need the power of the Holy Spirit just driving through a Walmart parking lot? And then when you get in the store, you definitely need the power of the Holy Spirit, all right? No matter what we're doing, when you are at work, no matter what kind of work you're doing, you need the power of the Holy Spirit on that job with you. Can I get a bigger amen? You don't want to leave home without it. It's more important. You know, sometimes Pastor Cindy laughs at me because I do this all the time. I'll get in a big hurry. I was like, okay, I got to go. I'll go kiss her bye, and I got to go. And I run out to the truck and get in the truck and realize I don't have my keys. Run back in the house, and she'll be just sitting on the chair looking at me, you know, waiting. I forgot my keys. So I'll grab my keys, and I'll run back out to the truck, get in the truck, drive about halfway down our road, you know, before leaving out of our neighborhood, and realize I forgot my wallet. Anybody else? I got to go back, and I'm getting frustrated now, and then I'll grab my wallet, run back to the truck, and then I'll take off again only to find out I forgot my phone. Now, all of those things are important to me. I need all of those things to go wherever I'm going to go. But more important than any of those things is the presence of the Holy Spirit. More important than any of those things. So, again, the Holy Spirit is so precious and so valuable to us. And what a blessing, what a gift the Lord gave us when he said, look, I'm not going to leave you on your own here. I got to go back to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to send the Comforter to you, or the Counselor, or the Consoler. That word can be translated a lot of different ways. The Helper. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you because I don't want you to do this stuff by yourself. And then he said, now I want you to go in the upper room. I want you to spend some time in prayer and in unity together. And I'm going to release the power of the Holy Spirit upon you so you can go and do the things that I have created you to do and commissioned you to do. So we said that the Holy Spirit, several things that the Holy Spirit does, and that's really what we're looking at. The things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And number one, we said he convicts of sin. Thank God he convicts of sin. Listen, the fact that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin can keep us out of prison. When that guy cuts in front of you or, you know, tells you how many less children your mother should have had with hand signals. You know, when they, you know, somebody just treats you in a way that you just don't feel like you deserve, you need the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin to keep you from doing something absolutely stupid. And I thank God the way that works is he doesn't just convict us of sin after, but he warns us of sin before. And y'all know it. That little warning light's going off. That little buzzer's going off in your spirit. You know, the Lord is saying, hey, Don't say that. Don't say that. I'm curious, how many of you, husbands and wives especially, have you ever been maybe having a little bit of a disagreement of some kind? And while you're talking, I can only relate to this as a man. I don't know how it works with women. But as you're talking, something's about to come out of your mouth, and the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. And how many of you know sometimes we are stupid enough to just let it out? And the problem is, once you let it out, you can't take it back. I mean, you can say I'm sorry all you want, but the cat's out the bag, right? And it ain't pretty. So the point is, the Holy Spirit, he warns you beforehand. But then when you go through it, thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that says, you know, not only should you not have done that, but, you know, you are not representing God in any way, shape, or form here, and you are hurting people, and you know, I thought you had a relationship with the Father. I don't know if he deals with y'all like that, but he deals with me like that. I thought you knew God. I thought you really loved God. Well, that gives an opportunity for my heart to take a hold of the fact that I was very selfish in that particular moment, no matter what that moment was, and gives me an opportunity to repent and repent quickly. All right, so the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Thank God. Then we said the Holy Spirit regenerates us by his power. Man, again, I never want to try to function without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. He regenerates me. He constantly empowers me. It's kind of like, you know, this microphone has what we call rechargeable batteries in it. And if you just let it go and go and go, it's going to work for a little bit, but the next thing you know, this mic's going to start skipping and popping and doing all kinds of stuff. Why? Because these batteries need a recharge. And in the same way, you and I need to be recharged. In fact, the scripture tells us to be recharged daily. It says it like this, be filled daily. So then we said the Holy Spirit lives in us. So he's not just someone that we, you know, hey, Holy Spirit, I need you to come along with me this time. No, he lives in us. Everywhere we go, he wants to be with us. And he lives in us. And unless we somehow are trying to expel him out of us and don't welcome him to go with us, he lives in us, which ought to keep us always thinking, I don't want to bring the Holy Spirit into some place that he don't want to go. And I don't want to get involved in some kind of action that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be involved with. So again, he lives in us. It's just sobering thoughts, but thank God he lives in us. He's made his home in us because we don't have to ever go looking for him. He's right there. All right. Now, today, let me just tell you this. Number four is that the Holy Spirit seals us, marking us as his own. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So tell somebody there's more than you've experienced so far. See, there's more, it says, until we acquire possession of it, right? But the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that inheritance. You know, the world should see us and know that we are his. Now, the picture of the seal here is not like, you know, the Bible says that they sealed Jesus' tomb, right? It's not like that. The picture of the seal is, it's kind of like a signet ring where the king's seal is on it. And they would use it to put a little piece of wax on whether they were sending some kind of a note or a letter or whatever. They would put that piece of wax down and the king's ring would seal that wax, or it would imprint into that wax, and that wax was the seal. So what this really means is that God has put his mark on you. I want you to turn to somebody and declare over them. I want you to do this now. Declare over them, you have been marked for the gospel. Tell them, you carry the king's seal. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I remember hearing a story years ago about, I believe it was David Livingstone, and as he was going through his travels in Africa, you know, there was a very dangerous, primitive place at the time. And he was going through, and some of you, I know you've heard this, but as he's going through his travels, he runs into a particular chief, and David Livingstone had a goat, you know, and of course they'd use the goat for milk and stuff like that. And as he's going through this travel, this chief, as he meets him in his village, decides that he wants David Livingstone's goat, and so he says, I will give you this, and he gives him a staff, you know, his stick. And David Livingstone's thinking, you know, this is not a great trade. You know, we need this goat. We need it. You know, it provides milk. But of course, this tribal leader who was a pretty well-known tribal leader says, no, I want the goat. And he gives him this staff. Well, David Livingstone didn't know what he had there. He went on ahead and traded, but he did not know what he had there. What he found out is that from that point on, everywhere he went, as he walked with that staff, because the staff had the king's seal on it, that everywhere he went, not only did he have, look, people gave him goats. They gave him stuff. Why? Because he had the king's seal. Everywhere he went with that seal, he carried that king's authority. So this isn't just about we're sealed for salvation. This is about the fact that we carry the king's seal, and everywhere we go, devils have to part. Everywhere we go, there is a seal upon us where the hordes of hell know who you are because they know who he is. So what he has done with his seal is he has authorized us. You know, when Pastor Cindy has some chickens, and I always say Pastor Cindy has some chickens because they weren't my idea, first of all. But secondly, I say that because if I start claiming them, that means I'm going to have to do all the taking care of them. So I call them Pastor Cindy's chickens, all right? Now, I do my part, all right? Just letting you know, I do my part to take care of them. But I noticed something about them chickens. They'll be all out there in the yard, and especially if they think I'm bringing some feed or something, and they'll come all running. I mean, and there's a bunch of them. But I noticed something about them. When I walk through there, them chickens part like the Red Sea. And it's kind of like that. See, we carry the seal of God Almighty, the creator of the universe. We carry his seal. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't recognize me. The devils don't recognize me, but they do recognize the Holy Spirit in me. And they know they've been defeated. So tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit's presence. Never leave home without it. All right, let me throw you one more out there. Number 5, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you. and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it is taught you, abide in him. Now, let me tell you, this does not mean that you get cocky and arrogant. Like I've heard people say, I don't need nobody to teach me anything, right? I've even heard people say, I got Jesus. He's the only teacher I need. Well, and they're talking about referring to this scripture, right? But here's how it works. Obviously, God raises up teachers. The Bible says that he equipped the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to do what? Equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So he's not saying that we don't need teachers. He'd have never raised teachers up if that were the case. But what he is saying is that with the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit will take that information and turn it into revelation. That the Holy Spirit will take what is being presented, and here's another thing he'll do. He'll let you know whether or not it's from God. Because just because you hear something out of a pulpit somewhere or on a TV ministry program or radio program doesn't mean that it's necessarily truth. So the Holy Spirit, that anointing that he puts in us, it abides in us, but then it says, now we need to abide in him. And the Holy Spirit will take a hold of something and he'll say, that's truth, that's truth, that's truth, that's truth. And this is how you apply that truth in your life. That's how he teaches us, all right? So John chapter 14, verse 26a. And by the way, we also, you know, we do need to read the word, because as we read the word, then the Holy Spirit can take that word and make it alive to us. I've had people even tell me, I don't even need to read that Bible. I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches me what I need. Yeah, but you're talking heresy all the time because you're ignorant of the word and you believe all kind of fallacies. That's how cults get started. All right, so John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Man, I love that. That, you know, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what to do? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can give you answers, can show you what to do in a time when your own brain can't come up with the answer. The Holy Spirit can reveal that. I have had that happen to me so many times. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful, wonderful teacher. All right. And so he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit takes the knowledge of the word that we read and he hears and he brings it to life in our spirits. It is there in our spirit, man, that the word becomes what we call the rhema word or a revelatory word, revelation, where it's not just information in our brains, but it becomes revelation in our spirits. The spirit is where the seed of the word is germinated and life is brought forth. See, the Holy Spirit works out of our spirit, not out of our head. So he takes that which the word of God has put into us, or maybe that we've heard from a teaching or something, and he makes it alive for us. All right, so let me give you, we're going to end right here. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes and is justified. So we can believe in our heart. See, a lot of people think belief is only in the head. No, we have the ability, God created us with the ability to believe in the heart. You know what? That's so important, because sometimes your heart needs to believe something that your head says is impossible. Happens to me all the time. So for with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Tell your neighbor one last thing, Holy Spirit revelation, never leave home without it. Listen, if you want more of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, I'm just telling you some things that he does. If you don't have those things operating or you don't see those things working, just ask him. Ask him, ask him, ask him to teach you, ask him to show you that which really is truth. Ask him to reveal to you how he has sealed you and authorized and put his mark upon you. There was a song years ago a guy wrote, and it was about somebody trying to run away from God, and you know, and he was just saying, you know, you can't. You can never run far enough away from him where he can't find you. And he's always pursuing you, right? The Holy Spirit, the desire of the Lord is that the Holy Spirit will, if need be, nag you, poke you, prod you, encourage you, everything that needs to be done to keep you living in the direction that God wants you to go, so that not only he be glorified, but also that you can become rewarded to a maximum level as you stand before Him one day. Amen? So why don't we just lift our hands to the Lord just for a little bit. And why don't you go ahead and tell Him, Lord, I want You to work in me. Lord, I want Your seal to be evident to me. Lord, help me to receive what You're trying to teach me. In Jesus' name, I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here. You are living in me. Lord, I yield to You even now to do Your work in me. Have Your way in me. I don't want to do anything without Your empowerment. Lord, I never want to leave home without it. Thank You. In the name of Jesus. Amen.